All right, game two of this series between the Giants and the Dodgers. A great matchup today. Walker Buehler against Scott Kazmir, making his first major league appearance since 2016. Yes, Scott Kazmir has been brought up to be the starting pitcher today. Time to bring in Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. We love talking ball with Mark. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter. And Mark, how are you today?
My perspective on Scott Kazmir is probably a little different from those on the West Coast, given how hyped he was as a Mets prospect back in the day. And I can still remember finding out that he was traded for Victor Zambrano. Oh, boy, he's been out of the game for a very long time. And Scott Kazmir is still rolling along pretty good here.
Well, he's going to get a shot today, believe it or not. They brought him up. It's a bullpen game, 2 to 3 innings probably for Kazmir, but here he is. So we'll just have to see, and we'll talk about him next week, I'm sure, see what he does. But this Giants pitching is just really off the charts and all the analytics that go with it. You know, Saras was on with us today, and the notes just came out from the Giants. Wins for their starting pitching, tied for first, 20 ERA, first in Major League Baseball with a 2.57 earned run average. Home runs to 9 innings, big number today, of course, with all the home runs, just .70, second in Major League Baseball. Mark, this starting staff has just been amazing. It's almost like you have Juan Marichal going out there every day to pitch for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny when you read all of those numbers together and you go to the baseball reference page for Juan Marichal, it's like you're looking at his 1964 season, pretty much. That year he was 21-8, so right in line with 20-7. 2.48 ERA, which is right in line with what the Giants' ERA is now. 3.5-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio for this Giants team. Marichal was about 4-1. And the home runs per 9 innings. You mentioned the Giants' 0.7. Marichal was 0.6. So Eno brings the analytic perspective. I try to give you the historical perspective on just how good this team has been.
No, I'm just off today.
Boy, you look at what's going on in baseball, though, with all the home runs and just the way the hitters swing. Then you see Trevor Bauer last night, ultimate showman. And who knows if he's got sticky stuff on the ball and his spin rate, but you know, when he had to throw a strike, he threw a quality strike, and that ball had late life to it.
No clue yet.
But he became sort of a showman last night. What was your thought about that?
The first thing I thought of with him was that it was like watching Reggie Miller play basketball.
Yeah.
Because it's the same kind of thing. The guy is good. He knows he's good. He's not going to be shy about letting him know he's good. When he takes the sword, the imaginary sword, and puts it back in his sheath. That looked a little ridiculous, but it was amusing. But it reminded me of Reggie Miller. It also reminded me, earlier in the week, there was a to-do on social media about a contestant on Jeopardy who was pounding his chest after he got the Daily Doubles right in the Tournament of Champions. So Giants land has a new villain in Trevor Bauer, and the rest of the country has a new villain in this kid, this local to me, actually, who was on Jeopardy and who basically Bowered his way through. And was very impressive. It was hard to not respect his intellect after watching him dominate in that game, just like Bauer dominated in some ways last night.
You know, even with all that, Alex Wood was right on it. Pitch for pitch, he just made one mistake to Chris Taylor, and he knocked it out in center field. But it was Giants-Dodgers, and, you know, I know you're back east, but this Giants-Dodgers, does it grab you? And this is a rivalry that goes back, really got intense when Larry McPhail came to the Brooklyn Dodgers, and it's kind of the mid-30s, and it's been really wild ever since then. Does it resonate with you?
The history of it does. Certainly the games of the 1950s and the stories of my dad from the 1960s, because they were basically side by side in that, 1962 to 1966 time frame. It was basically those two teams battling it out every year. The more recent stuff, I like 93. I remember 93 pretty fresh. And I like what this could be, partly because of you get like the villain with Bauer, which I think is pretty cool. And they're a stacked team, and the Giants are kind of the underdogs with that. And I like the underdog story in the rivalry, certainly. So does it resonate with me? Not as much probably as it would with people out west. But I do think that it's pretty cool. And I do know that there are, it's nice to have things besides Yankees Red Sox to watch rivalry wise.
Well, you know, I know you look at the box scores every day and you sort of trace the offense, whether it's going up or down comparatively over the season, and I appreciate that. But I look at the box score and I look at strikeouts, and I say, well, this team struck out, I think the Giants struck out 18 times last night or whatever. Bauer had 11 of them, what have you, something crazy. And you look at 27, 32 strikeouts a game. Are the pitchers too good right now? Well, what's happened here?
I think that that's what it is. And I'm guessing that Eno talked about that in some respects, too. I would analogize it to I'm a kid trying to play Connect Four or tic-tac-toe against you, and I don't know any of the strategy, and you're the adult, and you're beating the heck out of me in this game because I don't know how to win it. I think the pitchers are too good, and the hitters just don't have answers. Like, the hitters have been trained in this uppercutting swing kind of style now for the last, you know, 5 to 10, 15 years, and they're just swinging for the fences, and it's not working. And something I think is going to happen or have to happen, because you can't just hand the hitters a cheat code like you would on a video game and say, hey, you can solve this. There needs to be some fixes. Whether it's eliminating the sticky stuff or whatever it's doing, just to make this a more level playing field.
Well, you just see strikeout after strikeout or walk, and you can have a 25-minute inning, and the ball is put in play once. And baseball can't have it.
Yeah, that happened in one of the innings of the Met game yesterday that I was watching, and I just got sick of it. I was like, what is this? Come on.
Not
1980s baseball, that's for sure.
Come on. Change it.
Yeah.
All right. Mark Simon with us. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark, from Sports Info Solutions, please follow him on Twitter. He promotes and does so many good things during the week and podcasts and all sorts of different things. What about Brandon Crawford? He's gone wild. He's got 11 home runs. It's in a contract season, but come on. He's whacking the ball.
Yeah, so my favorite stat on Crawford is what he has done to a hitter's favorite kind of pitch, a left-handed hitter's favorite kind of pitch, that inside pitch. And I'm wondering, and I would leave this to Krug and Kite to evaluate, if he's taken a step off the plate to give himself a little bit more room. But this year, he has 7 home runs on inside pitches, and he's seen 178 of them, so less than 200. In 2019 and 2020, he hit a total of 6 home runs against inside pitches, and he saw 900 of them in those 2 years. So 900 versus less than 200, and he has more in the less than 200 than he did in the 900.
I wonder why. I see, when I look at him, I know he's opened his stance a lot.
That's probably what's done it then. I would defer to Krug and Kite.
Yeah, that front foot is now pointing towards the first base coaching box, so to speak. He's opened up quite a bit. There's a lot of room there that maybe that's it. I'll have to find out. But Walker Buehler pitches today. A lot of strikeouts naturally in baseball today. But he's also given up some home runs in 50 innings, you know. And he's gotten, you know, for the quality stuff he has, it looks like the hitters have caught up to him a little bit, and this is twilight. Who knows what the batters will be able to see out there, but he gives up some long balls.
He does. He's susceptible to getting launched, I think. If he leaves the fastball down a little bit, I think if you look at his average launch angle, it's high, which means that guys are hitting a lot of more fly balls against him than they used to. The problem that I think the Giants are going to run into today is that this guy is arguably the best fastball in baseball when it comes to strike throwing and out getting combined. If you look at the last 3 seasons, his numbers, he's top 10 in all the important categories. He's top 3 in a couple. He is a dangerous pitcher for the Giants today. I would be a little concerned.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, he goes against a tough cookie, Scott Kazmir. He's had a lot of rest. He's had 5 years to rest. So we'll see what he comes up with today. How about Tyler Rogers? What's going on with him and bringing him into these games? He's going to appear in 100 games, and nobody touches him.
Yeah, it's amazing. If you look at his numbers this season, the .7 ERA, but also the 13 to 5 K to walk, 13 strikeouts in 25 and two-thirds innings. It's nice to watch him pitch because he doesn't strike guys out. The thing that I saw that reminded me of something was the 65% ground ball reminded me of Dan Quisenberry at his best. Like when Quisenberry was at his best, I think that's about what he was. Low twos ERA, 4 strikeouts per 9 innings. This is only 25 innings worth, but it's cool that there's another Quisenberry-esque kind of pitcher in the game because other than like Adam Simber, who's on the Marlins, there aren't really too many guys like that, and it's cool to see one.
You know, and we don't have to do it this week because we're just about out of our time, but maybe next week we could look at some of the high ground ball rates in baseball history and see who they belong to. It'd be interesting to see that what the numbers are because we're talking 65%. That's a lot of ground balls.
Yeah, you're talking about a lot of sinker ballers, I think, when you do that.
Yeah, Giants had one. Well, same when I think sinker ball, Frank Lindsay comes to mind, one of their relief pitchers from the 60s. But, yeah, great sinker ball pitchers. Boy, interesting. Well, your Mets are hanging in there.
with scotch tape and toothpicks and glue and a AAA lineup every night because they have 16 guys right now on the disabled list, yes.
And DeGrom's back supposedly, I think, this week, right?
Yeah, in a couple of days, Jacob DeGrom's back. The Mets are going to be a dangerous team late in the season, and they're a team that's certainly capable of going to the World Series. But they haven't hit like they thought that they would this season. So I would be expecting better things for them once some of their bats come back. By the way, another sinker baller to bring up, Billy Swift, certainly.
Very good. Well, a lot of people say the only way the Mets are getting to the World Series is if they buy a ticket. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right. Have a great evening. It's a pleasure to talk to you. As always, we'll talk to you next week.
You got it, Marty. Thank you.
All right. Very good. That is Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. All right. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. for our pregame. Bill and Kerry are going to talk to Mark Sanchez. Bill then has the talk back today. So more coming up, KMBR 680, the sports leader.